Dear Father, please send the blessing of your Holy Spirit upon us all, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Genesis 12:2. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. Blessing is one of the deepest, richest words, activities that we have in our lives. Last night I was thinking of the wonderful blessing of laughter. And which I suppose in biblical terms, the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about laughter, but I see it as a sort of subcategory of joy. And I'm reminded of the Irish poet, to one of whose poems I introduced you to a couple of days ago, the Patrick Kavanagh, who in his poem on Lough Derg, which has a sort of flashback to the time of the New Testament, and one of his phrases about when the Apostles' Creed was fireside conversation. And he talks about the resurrection as a laugh let loose forever and ever. Now, I want to look more at blessing just now. That's one of the themes in our three readings. The Psalms are obviously a whole ecology of blessing, a dynamic ecology of blessing. God blesses us and all creation. We bless God. We bless each other. Creation blesses God. The whole thing, it's this marvelous, marvelous co-inherence of blessings that we're part of, that the Psalms portray. And in our gospel reading, we've had the culmination of Jesus' ministry in just leading up to the Ascension. I apologize for anticipating the Ascension, but I don't completely apologize for it, because I often think, because it happens midweek and then is so closely followed by Pentecost, we don't quite do justice to it. And those final words, when he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This final chapter of Luke is about the handing over of responsibility by Jesus to his disciples. And note how he does it. He does it by letting, in the road to Emmaus, their hearts burn within them as he opens the scriptures. And then again he opens the scriptures. I remember one of my students pointing out how many openings there are in this chapter. There's the opening of the scriptures, the opening of their eyes as they recognize him in the breaking of bread, the opening of their minds, and then, of course, the promise of the opening of the heavens with the Holy Spirit poured out, and then the opening of the gospel to the whole world. That this multiple opening, that we are in the middle of this time now, of just after Easter, when we begin to open up in this way. And of course the first opening is the opening to the scriptures, that has been one of the main things that we've looked at in this conference. So the handing over of responsibility to the disciples by Jesus is accompanied by this burst of blessing. And so blessing is absolutely at the root of all Christian ministry. And the Genesis passage about the blessing of Abraham brings us further back to that seminal moment in Israel's history, also rooted in blessing. Abraham is blessed and called to be a blessing, and then given this utterly unrestricted horizon of blessing. All families of the earth are to be blessed through him. And that is our horizon too. And as we celebrate the ministry of Bishop Peter Lee, the category I want to leave you with is that of wise blessing. It doesn't have to be a long visit, but the visit has to be to the right person at the right time and say the right things. It's that timing, the precision of blessing, that's often so important. And Christian ministry is so much about whether to bless, what to bless, who to bless, where to bless, what the content of the blessing is that you give. And I feel that so many of our regrets in life are about our failures to bless at the right time, with the right word, with the right gift. And so we need constant alertness in the spirit if we are to have a right ministry of blessing. Now, blessing in Christian ministry is obviously for the priesthood, is a matter of representative blessing. And of course, that's terribly important. Who can bless the elements in the Eucharist? The blessing in baptism, the blessing in marriage. And of course, therefore, huge controversies about blessing same-sex unions or whatever, that there's a wide range of ways in which blessings have been deeply controversial in Christian history. And that's because they are so important. We always fight over the things that go deepest. But also much more widely than the representative blessings. In practically every area of community life, I think one helpful way of looking at the way communities function best is about the discernment of blessing, about when an initiative is proposed, whether that's going to be blessed or not by the whole community, by particular key people in the community. And it's not, and leadership, I think, is often better conceived as a matter of wise blessing rather than in the other terms. It's not that the other terms are wrong. I mean, authority, power, coming largely from the political sphere, effectiveness and good management and so forth from the business sphere, they're all very important. But I think we also need a primary, more basic theological category for what Christian leadership is about. And I think it's also helpful to have blessing, because it doesn't mean that the leader has to think up the great plan. It doesn't mean the leader has to be there in the forefront carrying it out. It can be upfront leadership or leadership from behind or from the middle, you know, all the different types of leadership that all the manuals tell you about. Any of those, it seems to me, properly done, can be a matter of wise blessing. That what the really critical thing is in any community is what is blessed and what is recognized by the community as having that blessing for going forward and doing things in the right way. And what's involved in this? I mean, first of all, for all of us, is involved the receiving of blessing. And we just have to trust day by day by day that God longs to give us blessings. God longs. God is an utterly generous God, not a mean God, and wants to pour out blessings on all of us day by day. And the real problem tends to be that we don't want to receive, that we just do not, or not want to see what God really wants to give, because sometimes God's blessings, of course, are rather different from our ideas of what they should be. But that we receive blessings. And I mean, clearly this, as a diocese, has been such a privilege, really, such an utter privilege to be here with you as you have celebrated Peter Lee's ministry and Christie's time with you. And to just get a sense of the blessing that they have been to you, and I know that you have been to them as well. And it's probably a very good time just to think of those people who have been blessings. I mean, obviously, in the church, Peter's ministry as a bishop is in a long line of blessings. He has been blessed in his consecration, and the bishops before him have been blessed going way back. This lineage of blessing. But we are all part of lineages of blessings, and we all can think of those people who have blessed us, why we are here today. And I think this Eucharist can be a very good time for our deep, deep gratitude for those blessings that we have received through Peter and Christie, but also, of course, through all the other people in our lives who are part of our lineage of blessings. And that liberates us to be a blessing to others. God blesses Abraham and says he is to be a blessing. And I think the deepest motive for ministry is often that one of deep gratitude for blessings received. And I hope that the four elements of theological creativity can be some element, it can be a dimension of your grounding in blessing, that in order to be a blessing, I think it helps to be involved in creative retrieval and deep engagement with God, church, world, with the with creative thinking and also with creative expression and communication. But it's the four moods, the five moods, sorry, that I wanted to mention, especially in relation to blessing, because what I've suggested is that those moods of the indicative and imperative and interrogative and subjunctive and optative, that they are wrapped around by the optative ideally, and that's what I see as the mood supremely of blessing. Blessing is in the optative mood. May you be blessed. This longing, this desire for the other to be blessed, this God-centered desire for other people and for the whole of creation, that other people and the whole of creation may be blessed. And above all, as we look at Luke chapter 24 and that move towards the ascension and then on to Pentecost, we think of the supreme blessing on us as Christians, which is the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is the Spirit that led Jesus Christ the way of the cross. I rather like that symbol of the Spirit that has a flame and in the center of it a cross. The Spirit led Jesus the way of the cross, and he blesses with pierced hands. And as he blesses us with pierced hands, so our hearts are pierced with his love and compassion, which above all was enacted in his death, the deepest source of blessing, the death into which we are all baptized, and which we remember especially at this Eucharist, and to which all our ministry must conform. That opening of the second letter to the Corinthians, which was read in a different translation from mine, which didn't have, it had all praise instead of blessed at the beginning, I noticed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation. It was comfort in the translation we had. And of course, it is the word paraklesis. That word paraklesis, or parakale, the verb from it, appears 10 times in 7 verses in this opening of 2 Corinthians. And what an extraordinary, powerful word it is, that it's the word for comfort, for consolation. I think often encouragement is the most helpful translation today. But also, of course, it's the word in John's Gospel for the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, the one who stands beside you, the one who is your advocate. And so the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. Abundant sufferings, abundant consolation, that one of Paul's favourite words, perisuline, that overflowing of superabundance, but it applies both to the suffering and to the consolation. We bless in the name of the one who died and the one, the same one, who rose again from the dead. Hallelujah. Thank you.